Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Remember this?
It was my experience that Mr. Trump inflated his total assets when it served his purposes, such as trying to be listed amongst the wealthiest people in Forbes, and deflated his assets to reduce his real estate taxes.
That was all the way back in February. Seems like so long ago, right? When Michael Cohen, Donald Trump's former executive vice president and special counsel, as I think his title was, testified before the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee. The folks at Trump Inc., our podcast, the one from WNYC and ProPublica, we should say, were listening. But with the president's tax return still blocked from view, what to do? Well, if you remember that day, Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez followed up and offered a clue.
To your knowledge, was the president interested in reducing his local real estate bills, tax bills?
Yes.
And how did he do that?
What you do is you deflate the value of the asset, and then you put in a request to the tax department for a deduction.
So, to talk about what they found in a piece of original reporting now, I'm joined by Andrea Bernstein, one of the hosts of Trump Inc., and Heather Vogel, reporter at ProPublica. Hi, Andrea and Heather, welcome.
Hi, Brian. Hey, Brian.
Andrea will go through the details, but bottom line, you found differences in how the Trump Organization reported financial information in loan filings and in tax filings?
Right, and this is really an extraordinary piece of reporting by Heather, because you know how everybody wants to see Trump's taxes. Well, Heather actually figured out a way not to see the taxes, but to see some tax documents filed by the Trump Organization. And Heather, I think you should take it on how you actually found them.
Yeah, sure. Basically, what I did was I requested under the Freedom of Information Act in New York some documents that he filed as part of a tax appeal. So this is, he's not happy with his property tax valuation from the city. He wants them to reconsider and to lower it. So he has to file this form. And what's great about it is that it's not just, you know, please reconsider. It's an expense and income statement for the building in question, for the property in question. So it's got a lot more detail than is available, say, on the website.
And you would want to look more profitable when trying to get someone to invest in you, and less profitable when paying your taxes, right?
Yeah, right, right, exactly. And what was interesting was that we were able to narrow down discrepancies between these two types of documents to a handful of them that really do show that happening. We have income that's lower when reported to the tax authorities and higher when reported to the lender. We have an occupancy rate that basically is appears to be misstated in some loan documents, and what it would do would be at to basically show that the building had taken off in leasing, which would be very attractive to the lender. We had a few expense items that were also, there were discrepancies that were higher to the tax officials, the expenses bringing down the profit, and lower on the lending side.
So in filling out documents for the government, like on property taxes, the Trump Organization was trying to make certain properties look less valuable when applying to the bank for the next set of loans. They were trying to make it look more profitable.
Exactly. I mean, you know, when they're trying to obtain these loans, they basically want to make this building look as profitable as possible. And that's true for all commercial real estate developers. They want to, you know, make the building look good. But you have to present accurate numbers when you're doing
it. Do you have
that.
An example?
Yeah. You know, one of the examples was that occupancy issue. And then another example was...
And on the occupancy issue, the difference is on the loan documents, it said 58%, roughly. And on the tax documents, it said 80%, which is, you know, these are, I think it's really important to underline that this is not just sort of Trump fudging the numbers the way he does every day. These are unofficial documents that are filed with government authorities that are making representations and warranties that they are true. And the reason that we have brought Michael Cohen into this is that you can go to prison for making false statements to a bank. That is one of the reasons why Michael Cohen is in prison. It is one of the reasons why Paul Manafort is in prison. It is very serious. You're not supposed to do it. So that's why it's so significant to find these two sets of numbers.
And that answer, I think, is important because I was thinking, and I'm sure a lot of listeners were thinking, well, okay, yeah, but doesn't everybody do this? Try to make yourself look less profitable when reporting your taxes and try to make yourself look as profitable as you could potentially be when applying for a loan. Like, is this normal or is this, aha, people don't do this. You're really a unique criminal here.
This is a question that we asked a lot of experts. Because, you know, I hear all the time people are like, well, it's New York, it's Wall Street, it's real estate. Of course people are lying. But there's a difference between, say, like, I'm taking to show you a condo. And I'm like, this isn't the best building, and it's the most beautiful, and it's going to shoot up in value. Versus if I put on an official government filing that is going to go into the bond market and perhaps affect the entire financial security of everyone, something that is a false statement.
And so do you want to set up this clip, which speaks to that point? Kevin Reardon, one of the experts that you spoke to, where he gets into not just what something says on paper, but when there's actual cash involved.
Right. So Heather brought him all of these documents that she found. And one of the interesting things was Heather was thinking, oh, maybe this isn't a big deal. And he looked at it. He's somebody who has worked in investment in real estate for a long time. And he said, no, this is a big deal. This is what he said.
You know, there's this puffery, right? I can say it's a great building. I can use a lot of terms around the building, but it's hard to argue numbers. Like, rent roll is the rent roll. The terms of the leases with the tenants are the terms of the leases. And that's black and white.
So if you bought one of those bonds, Heather, how did you do?
Well, it's a part of a much larger package. What we found that was interesting was that the expectations that were set down by the underwriters when the loan did go through ended up not bearing out, that the loan did not perform as predicted. And the problems were significant enough that within a year, the loan ended up on a watch list for 3 months because the profit was not big enough to cover the debt service with enough of a margin for everybody to be comfortable. Now, Trump has continued to pay the loans down, and there's not been a default or anything like that. But it does, those problems really do highlight that there were some questionable inputs on that side going into basically how they made the loan.
And more to the question of
what they told investors.
This is just what real estate investors do, real estate developers do. Here's another clip from this episode of Trump Inc. Nancy Wallace, a UC Berkeley professor.
In New York, New York is a market that is a pretty aggressive, rough and tumble market, I think more so than any other market in the country. New York and New Jersey are kind of notorious for a very rough and tumble real estate climate. But that doesn't excuse illegality, and especially illegality that gets into our national bond markets. There aren't special rules for New Yorkers, and there certainly aren't special rules in this case.
And she would know?
She is an expert in real estate and finance malfeasance, and what is interesting is that, I mean, the question that I'd asked her is, okay, like, is everybody in New York doing this and we just happen to catch them? And she was saying, like, no, this is something you're really not supposed to do. Because I think that is always the question with Trump, is sort of how bad is it? And we kept going to people, and Heather went to 12 people, 13 people. None of them could explain the discrepancies. And that is what's so startling about this, that no one could say, okay, yes, I can see why all of this makes sense and could be explained away. In fact, it looks like, remember the clip that we had of Michael Cohen, who worked 10 years side by side with Trump. He said this is what Trump did all the time. And the documents that Heather found corroborate that and bear that out.
And so the question becomes, is this illegal? And is this going to become, you know, Article 23 in the Articles of Impeachment that are probably forthcoming? So here's one more clip from this Trump Inc. episode. It's Ann Milgram, who some of you may remember was the Attorney General in New Jersey, now at the NYU Law School, also a former federal prosecutor and co-host of Cafe Insider with Preet Bharara. Ann Milgram.
So there's two ways I would think about this. And I would think about if there was an amount of income that was underreported in an effort to pay lower taxes and then essentially overreported in an effort to be able to secure these loans, that's one huge potentially criminal problem.
So, well, Andrea, I'm going to give that one to you. How criminal is it, and how personally responsible is Donald Trump for these papers filed by the Trump Organization?
Well, you heard the note of caution in her voice. I mean, she was a prosecutor. She was a New Jersey Attorney General. She worked in the Southern District. So she said, as most prosecutors do, well, until I see all the evidence and I get to investigate and call up and ask what are the possible reasons to explain this, I'm not going to pass judgment on whether I think there was a crime. But what she was clear about, and I think what everybody that Heather spoke to for this story was clear about, is that this is not just normal course of business. Now, let me add that the Trump Organization, with the Justice Department on its side, is currently before the Second Circuit saying that a sitting president cannot even be investigated for any crime, no matter when he might have committed that crime. So the question is, could he even be investigated, is before one of the highest courts in the land.
But a court already rejected that argument,
yes,
right?
The district court judge rejected that argument, but it is now, they're now fighting it. And while they're fighting it, the Manhattan district attorney, who has asked for the Trump tax returns, has not been able to get them while this is all being adjudicated.
And one would assume that if Heather was able to suss out these documents and the suspicious comparative documents as a reporter, one assumes government investigators could do the same.
I would say so, Heather.
Yeah. I mean, the documents are there.
Or you could now just hand them over because you've got this scoop.
Yeah. Well, I'd certainly love to have more documents, that's for sure. So.
And we have a way for people to give us tips at
tips at
trumpincpodcast.org. We have secure document drops, so please go to our website and find out how to do that if you have further information, if anyone out there listening has further information.
Andrea Bernstein, co-host of the Trump Inc. podcast, and Heather Vogel, reporter for ProPublica. Thank you both.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.